This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, we are almost done with this weekend. Woo! What a day we had today between RFK, Tulsi Gabbard, Cash Patel. It's been wild and crazy, but we are going to have a discussion about all of it tonight. The system, how it's been used, why there's so much opposition to some of these people. Yes, I will address very, very briefly that crash from last night. Not going to spend a bunch of time on it. We'll try to clear through some emails. Great, great example of how our own money has been used against us. And a bedrock of communism that must be attacked and looks like it is going to be attacked by the Trump administration in this country. All that, emails, voicemails, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Okay, first, I want to talk about what I'm not going to talk about. I know how that sounds. The airline crash from last night. Obviously, you already know what happened in case you've been living under a rock. An Army helicopter out on a training maneuver in the D.C. area crashed into a commercial airliner, an American Airlines flight, crashed right over the Potomac, but it didn't matter what they crashed over. Honestly, that was probably a blessing because nothing fell in any kind of an occupied area which could have hurt people, but everyone's dead, you know, helicopter, plane, everyone's dead. It's freaking horrible. And we don't talk politics after national tragedies on this show. I never have. I never will. I've always despised when the communists do that. So I don't participate in that. You know, a mass shooting. Get banned the guns. I just think it's gross. I think it's not how we should operate as a country. So will I discuss, you know, maybe some DEI things later on, but not directly related to this? Yes, I will. I'll probably get into that at some point in time. But right now, families from those planes, from that helicopter, they're getting knocks on the door that have completely destroyed their world. I mean, we're talking a father with a one-year-old son. His wife's getting a knock on the door as we speak. It's awful. It's all awful. We need to pray and come together as a country. And that's really all we need to do whenever there's a national tragedy like that. And so that is the way I'm sticking with it. I will say this, shifting gears a little bit. It's going to be on the subject, but at the same time, not on the subject. What have we talked about when it comes to earning trust back? We've talked about it a million times. Talked about it last night. I know I discussed it last night. How is trust earned back in your own personal life, in your work life, as it relates to your relationship with the government? It doesn't matter what circumstance it is. There's only one way trust is ever earned back. Openness. Honesty. And the people who are trying to earn trust back, they'll usually try everything else before they try the one thing that will work. They'll try to lie, dance around everything, but trust can only be earned back through honesty, through openness. There's never been a second way, and there never will be. And right now, the American people have justifiably stopped trusting the criminal enterprise known as the United States government. I saw something in response to this crash that I thought was just so inspiring. And I love where we're headed right now. I love where this administration is headed. Pete Hegseth, new Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, put out a video online. It's a little long, but I'm going to let him talk. He put out a video online immediately. I woke up this morning. As facts were still coming in, I woke up this morning and saw him address this in a way that wasn't obfuscating. Haha, the big word, Chris Nutt. But seriously, it wasn't hiding anything. It wasn't, sorry, it's classified. It wasn't the way our government has been treating us for years now. You're too stupid. You don't deserve to know. We won't say. None of that. Immediate, open, honesty.
But I also wanted to give an update on the tragedy that happened last night here in Washington, D.C., and provide a little bit more information as we are actively working to investigate and understand what occurred and why. At about 8:48 last night, a UH-60 assigned to the U.S. Army Aviation Brigade in the Military District of Washington, Fort Belvoir, Virginia, collided tragically with a civilian airliner. The unit involved, the Army unit involved, was Bravo Company 12th Aviation Battalion at Fort Belvoir. It was an annual proficiency training flight. And when we look at the crew, and we're not all kin have been notified, so we're going to withhold ranks and names at this point. We do know on our side who was involved. It was a fairly experienced crew, and that was doing a required annual night evaluation. They did have night vision goggles. The 12th Aviation Battalion, as of now, is granted a 48-hour operational pause on contingency missions as what happened is reviewed. And a senior-level aviation team, an investigative team from our Aviation Safety Center, was deployed last night and already is in Washington, D.C. to investigate what's going on. We anticipate that the investigation will quickly be able to determine whether the aircraft was in the corridor and at the right altitude.
Yeah, he goes on, but listen to that honesty. We're talking, I'm on Central Time here. It was 8 o'clock last night, roughly, give or take my time, that terrible tragedy occurred. I woke up this morning, kids, wife, said hi, sat down, started going through the news, and by the time I woke up this morning, I think it was less than 12 hours, the Secretary of Defense is on camera explaining training exercise. These were the crew members. They had night vision goggles. We're figuring out what's going on. There'll be an open investigation. And I realize this is all on the back of a terrible tragedy, and it's awful, but that is so wonderful to hear. Immediate. Not covering it up, not lying, not, well, we're not going to say, not the president's not going to address it. Immediate openness with the American people. That is exactly how we can reestablish a relationship with the American people and their government. And that relationship is a must. If the American people view their government as a hostile actor, then individual elections really don't matter, because on a long enough timeline, this country will end. If the American people think the contract with their government has been broken, and it very much has been broken, then that contract needs to be put back together or the country ceases to exist. And the only way to get that back is not through our action. It's not on you. And the government loves to do that. Elites love to do that. Well, you need to do this, and you need to stop saying that, and you need to do that. No, 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 no. This needs to come from one direction. One entity has violated our trust, and that is the government. It's not on us. It's incumbent on them. You open up the books. You be honest about what you've done. And that's actually going to be a central theme as we get to these scandals, Tulsi Gabbard, Cash Patel, other things. And immediately, we had Sean Duffy, the new head of the Department of Transportation. Trump did a big press conference this morning, and I'm not going to go into a lot of that stuff. Not right now. Maybe I'll talk about some of it later. I didn't like some of it. I just didn't feel like it was the time to do some of that. But we don't have to go into that right now. I'll talk about it later. But Sean Duffy getting up immediately. This should not have happened. This was wrong. We are on top of it. This is such a stark contrast from what we lived under of immediate cover-up, lies, CYA. No more of that. This was wrong.
We commit to them that we are going to get to the bottom of this investigation. Not in 3 years, not in 4 years, but as quickly as possible with the NTSB, who is here today, as well as the FAA. What happened yesterday shouldn't have happened. It should not have happened. And when Americans take off in airplanes, they should expect to land at their destination. That didn't happen yesterday. That's unacceptable. And so we will not accept excuses. We will not accept passing the buck. We are going to take responsibility at the Department of Transportation and the FAA to make sure we have the reforms that have been dictated by President Trump in place to make sure that these mistakes do not happen again.
That's exactly what you should hear from your leaders in the wake of a terrible tragedy. Wonderful. Good job. Very pleased. I will say last thing on this, and then I want to move on, talk about this confirmation stuff from today. I've talked to several pilots today, helo pilots today of various kind, military helicopter pilots and crew members, not just pilots. It's not just the pilot on these things. There is such a thing as human error. It happens all the time. It happens all the time in military training, civilian training. And there are a lot of moving parts when you're flying a helicopter, flying it at night, flying it over top of a major metropolitan area. There are just a lot of things that can go wrong, and eventually something will. That's how it works. And it sounds like, from their expertise they gave me, it sounds like that's what they think, just one of those perfect storm things where everything seemed to go wrong. So bow your head, say a prayer for those poor families tonight, all right? All right. Now let's move on and talk about some confirmation hearing stuff. Let's talk about the system, trust in the system. Let's talk about chalk first, though. Let's talk about getting some natural herbal supplements in your body. You see, no matter what, we need to get our testosterone levels back up again. We do. We've lost half of our testosterone nationally in 50 years. What does that mean for us? It means the men of this country are low energy. Our minds don't work well. We're not bold anymore. And why is that? Because we have estrogen in our waters. Lots of it. All this comes from how it's treated. They're not treating out all the birth control stuff. And so we drink estrogen. And it's killing us. The anti-communists at Chalk are trying to turn that around. Help them. Help our country. Help yourself. Get on a male vitality stack from Chalk. Stop getting needles in your arm. A male vitality stack, natural herbal supplements. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Reminding you, I should have opened up the show with this, that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get all of your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours on Friday dedicated to you, so ask me anything. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, let's discuss what we're seeing right now. I'm talking about the confirmation hearing stuff and the indignation we're getting from Democrat senators. Here's what's happening from a 30,000-foot view. We have institutions in this country. Institutions have incredible power in a nation. We've had this discussion before. You already know that. Your institutions determine so much of how your country will operate, of what your future looks like as a country. Well, over the course of years and years, decades, really, communists in the United States of America have done, well, what's called Antonio Gramsci. He was an Italian communist. I read about this in the Anti-Communist Manifesto. Antonio Gramsci, he directed worldwide communists to embark on something called the long march through the institutions. Because let me explain why. This is what communists were running into. They were very much running into this in the Western freer countries where they were trying to embed themselves. You know, they would start up street protests, or maybe you take over a teachers union here or a journalist union there. But what they were finding is, here in the United States of America and other places, but we'll make it just about us, here in the United States of America, because our institutions were founded, were established because of a free country, to push, to support, to endorse a free country, to maintain a free country is probably a better way I want to put it. Our institutions were put into place to ensure we would remain free. Well, the communists kept running headlong into our institutions and being stopped. He wanted a revolution. He wanted to burn it all down. He wanted to put the country to the torch. And our institutions back then were designed to maintain our freedom and were occupied by people interested in maintaining our freedom. And that's why, I'll tell you what, you can do some fascinating research or reading on this. Again, I write a little bit about it, but there are many books and stuff like that. You don't have to buy mine, about groups like the Weather Underground. Weather Underground is a group that its name, at least, rose back into prominence when Barack Obama was running for president. Why? Because of a man by the name of Bill Ayers, who'd been allegedly a mentor of Barack Obama, and he was a Weather Underground member. But none of that matters right now for the purpose of our conversation. Weather Underground, we're talking 70s here, 1970s here, they embarked on a murderous rampage. They were street communists, trying to spark a revolution and burn everything down in this country. But why is this not a household name? Why is this not something most people know about? Because they ran headlong into our institutions and got crushed. It wasn't immediate, but it was almost immediate. They were trying to spark this uprising and boom, like a car going 80 miles an hour into a brick wall, they slammed into our institutions. Our institutions stopped that revolution. Weather Underground disappears. Leaders get thrown in prison and phew, here we are. Back to where we should be. Well, that didn't just take place here in the United States of America. As the communists, most of this was promoted by the Soviet Union, as the communists across the globe were trying to embed themselves in free countries, in the Western civilization countries, they kept slamming into the institutions and being stopped. And so they put their heads together and said, okay, well, what do we do? How do we handle this? America's institutions are handicapping us. They're kneecapping our efforts. We can't get our revolution going while these institutions are stopping us. Well, they couldn't get rid of the institutions themselves, so they just decided to simply take them over. And the thinking was, and it was very accurate thinking, if we just decide to focus on the long game, not some crazy revolution that's going to, you know, let's burn down the post office, crazy stuff like that. That's not going to end up with a successful revolution. But if we focus on the long game, let's take over the education system. Let's, as we're teaching Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to hate America, let's also encourage them to go into the business of government. Let's push them into the federal government, state government, local government. If we stop focusing on the revolution of this weekend and start focusing on the long term by ensuring communist Aiden, Jaden, and Braden will one day work in the FBI, then in the end, instead of the institutions stopping our revolution, the institutions will in fact promote the revolution. They'll protect the revolution. And that is the system we currently have in place in the United States of America. I'll play some examples of that from today and other things in a moment. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, talking about the long march through the institutions, why there's so much indignation about Tulsi Gabbard and RFK and Cash Patel and so much more tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Okay, so now if you're just now joining us, we were talking about what the communists decided and why decades ago. They kept slamming headlong into our institutions and getting defeated. The revolution kept getting stopped at the doors of our revolutions. And so they figured out they needed to simply take over our institutions. Stop trying to blow up the post office. Start taking over the post office. Stop complaining about the FBI stopping your domestic terrorism and simply take over the FBI. And over decades of aggression by them and neglect by us, they were very successful. And you've seen little attempts to stop this in the past. What's a good example of this? I'll tell you. Yo, here's a perfect one. Have you ever heard of McCarthy? Senator McCarthy? What's the reputation of Senator McCarthy today? Not just among lefties, but you probably learned about McCarthy or McCarthyism in school. Let me ask you something. Did you, at any point in your education, just an honest question, did you ever hear from a single teacher or professor a positive word about Senator Joe McCarthy? Oh, you didn't, Chris? You didn't, huh? Corey, nothing for you? No, no, me either. Nothing. A bad guy in pop culture, a bad guy, McCarthyism, neo-McCarthyism. Well, what happened there? McCarthy saw the march through the institutions happening. McCarthy, and I'm not you know, worshiping the guy, but McCarthy said, this is a huge problem. If the communists are marching through Hollywood, through government, we need to call this out and stop it. And the communists immediately locked shields and said, you can't do that. That's tyranny. You can't stop us. And America's communist education system has for decades criticized him as if he was some sort of a monster. So my point is, anyone who tried to point out this march through the institutions and stop it has been demonized for decades across the country because the communists understood how important it was to hold on to these institutions. And so I saw this today. Senator Hassan from New Hampshire, she's talking to RFK Jr. And this is one little snippet. I bet you haven't even heard it repeated today. But it was so, so revealing about how the communists think.
Sometimes science is wrong. We make progress. We build on the work and we become more successful. And when you continue to sow doubt about settled science, it makes it impossible for us to move forward. So that's what the problem is here. It's the relitigating and rehashing and continuing to sow doubt so we can't move forward. And it freezes us in place.
You can't sow doubt about settled science. Loves that term. And you trying to sow doubt about settled science is hurting us from going forward. What's she saying? Well, what she's saying is, she's talking to RFK Jr. there, what she's saying is her communist minions over the course of decades have managed to achieve humongous power in our institutions, in our medical institutions, both government and private, from the FDA, CDC, we can go private medical institutions across the country, NIH, you name it. Card-carrying communists have managed to grab power in these institutions, and now they get to decide what science is, what truth is, and that power, the power to decide what is real, what is true, what is false, what is a fact, what is a lie, that's the whole point in the communists taking over the institution, is so he could then use the power of the institution to attack his political opponents and to push his revolution forward. And the reason they freak out about people like Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. is they are the first ones to take over these institutions if they get confirmed. They're the first ones in a long time to take over these institutions with the expressed intent of reforming it and of adjusting it and of opening up the books of the institution. I played that soundbite for you last night. In fact, Chris, grab that soundbite if you don't mind. RFK Jr. from last night said, I've been suing the NIH. I've been asking for information from these people forever. And every time, it takes 2 years to get any information back. And when I do get something back, I get pages and pages and pages of redacted documents that don't tell me and don't tell the American people anything. And that's the system we've had in place where you can simply take over the FDA. You'll determine what is safe. You'll determine what is not safe. And if the American people or a lawyer or anyone else wants to know, how did you come to that conclusion? What studies did you do? How did you come up with any of that? The American people, when they ask these questions, they now have the institutions telling them, sorry, you don't deserve to know. Sorry, we're keeping that information quiet. Sorry, that's private. Sorry, that's classified. Sorry, you can't know that. And that has been the communist power forever. Remember when he said this yesterday?
My approach to administration, HHS, will be radical transparency. I've spent many years litigating against NIH and its sub-agencies. HHS and its sub-agencies, NIH, CDC, FDA, on FOIA issues, trying to get information that we, the taxpayers, paid for, and oftentimes getting back redacted copies after a year or 2 years of litigation. That should not be the case. And if Congress asks me for information, you will get it immediately.
Kash Patel said something similar today at his hearing. He was asked about the FBI. And remember, the communists, they want an FBI that protects them, that attacks you and protects them. And they want an FBI, and they have currently an FBI that can't be held accountable by Congress because the GOP in Congress doesn't have the stones to defund them. And anytime someone in the GOP in Congress calls someone in the FBI in front of them and asks them questions, they always comment with the exact same thing. You've heard me scream about it behind the microphone a million times. I'm sorry. I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. I'm sorry, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. I'm sorry, I can't do this. Sorry, that's classified. Sorry, that's an ongoing investigation. Well, what's happening there? It's a tactic used by our FBI, CIA, NSA. I mean, honestly, everyone underneath the NIH, everybody. It's a tactic used by the communists who took over the system to ensure they retain control of the system and to ensure they can continue to use the system as a weapon against you. That's why they try to sit in front of you and say things like, you're questioning the settled science. If you do this, we can't even move forward. What's moving forward for her? Moving forward for her is the ongoing, without end, corruption of federal agencies on behalf of Democrats and against anybody who's deemed a political opponent. That, for her, is moving forward. That's why, I mean, you remember what they said. Catherine Mayer, head of NPR.
Reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
We're trying to find consensus. We're trying to get important things done, and you're bothering me about what's true. Why don't you just let me tell you what's settled science?
Sometimes science is wrong. We make progress. We build on the work, and we become more successful. And when you continue to sow doubt about settled science, it makes it impossible for us to move forward. So that's what the problem is here.
It's just impossible. How can we move forward? Don't you understand? We took over your institution, and now we tell you what's true, right? Why won't you believe us? Now let's get into Kash Patel specifically. Next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and the questions are already coming in hot and heavy. So get yours sent in right now. Ask me anything. Doesn't even have to be political. I don't care. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Now to the Kash Patel hearing from today. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, he had a real clever little bingo card he put up there. In fact, you've probably seen this clip on social media. Maybe you've already heard this clip from today. Man, look at Tom Tillis getting those Democrats.
Colleagues, I created a cash bingo card that I have available to any of my colleagues who would like it on the other side of the aisle. Some may view this as an unserious caricature and not appropriate for this committee. Sadly, I consider it a serious caricature of what I expect to be witnessed today. I think we'll have words like enemies list and deep state. I've already X'd out four boxes in the opening statements alone. The fact of the matter is, some people will be here to simply substantiate a false narrative.
I just want to, before we get into Cash, I want to remind you that Tom Tillis and others like him, I'll just talk about him right now, though. Tom Tillis is your enemy. You know that. Tom Tillis is the ultimate snake. AOC has done less damage than Tom Tillis has done, because Tom Tillis keeps getting elected as a, quote, Republican in the state of North Carolina. Every chance he gets, he screws you over. Every chance he gets. Now, he knows North Carolina is red and getting redder. He knows that he can't be that loud, that obvious about opposing you. But if Tom Tillis had his way, the status quo would be maintained. We just talked about the communists and how they took over all these systems, all the institutions, I should say. Tom Tillis wants that to stay exactly the way it is. Why wouldn't he? He's a United States senator. He has all this power. He has all these campaign donations. Why would Tom Tillis want to reform anything? Tom Tillis, do I need to remind you, North Carolina, I'm talking to you. Tom Tillis tried to torpedo the nomination of Pete Hegseth by having his ex-wife's sister plant a damaging story about Pete Hegseth in the Wall Street Journal. We now know this, as reported by the Wall Street Journal. And then Tom Tillis, because he knew he couldn't be honest about that, went out and, oh yeah, we got to vote for Pete. I'll vote to confirm Pete. But he tried to get other GOP senators to turn against him by planting a damaging story. Tom Tillis hates you more than Chuck Schumer ever will. Chuck Schumer never thinks about you. Tom Tillis knows he has to come up with clown bingo cards to act like he's on your side and bank on people sitting at home going, yeah, Tom, get him. Tom Tillis is not your friend. These senators grabbing these sound bites that sound like they're on our side, they very much are not. Anyway, here's Cash Patel responding to Josh Hawley.
Do you think it's appropriate for the FBI to pressure them to censor the political speech of everyday American citizens to try and violate the First Amendment? Is that appropriate, do you think, Mr. Patel?
No, Senator.
Will you put an end to this, Mr. Patel, if you are confirmed at the FBI?
Senator, if confirmed, I will work with Congress to expose any corrupt activities the FBI has participated in, especially involved in the censorship of free speech.
I just wanted to stop on this for a moment to remind you how incredibly evil our system currently is. We got to witness this. We got to experience this over the last 4 years, where we're not talking about some future horrific banana republic style America where the federal government has declared war on the American people. We are already living in that country. We experienced it for 4 years. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, the premier federal law enforcement arm, the Federal Bureau of Investigation not only did everything they could do to ensure Joe Biden won the 2020 presidential election, the Federal Bureau of Investigation went to social media companies and told them to silence you. That scandal alone, without talking about anything else, school boards, without anything else, that scandal alone should end the FBI. If you start a federal law enforcement arm, which clearly you shouldn't, but if you do start a federal law enforcement arm and you wake up one day and find out that federal law enforcement arm has dedicated itself to silencing the First Amendment rights of the American people, that federal law enforcement arm should cease to exist. And that's the one we have right now. That's how evil these freaking people are. And remember this, almost all of them are still there. Oh, I know we have resignations, and I know it came out today. They're already starting to demote people, to fire people at the FBI. We had some evil commie FBI guy in Miami step down. Elvis Chan, he was the lead FBI special agent coordinating the suppression of your rights to Silicon Valley. He's long gone now, too. I realize that. But most of the evil people are still working inside the Hoover Building and at the various FBI field stations around the country. The evil people who use their badge and their position of power to smash you, to silence you, to censor you are still there. This system is still in place and it's evil. And Kash Patel, if confirmed, he's got a mountain to climb. One of the mountains he may have to climb is January 6th. No, not the political protesters, who thankfully Trump turned loose. Exactly how involved in January 6th was the federal government? Listen to this.
And while you were chief of staff at DOD, how many times did DOD approach Capitol Police and ask if they needed National Guard assistance?
I believe those letters are well documented, numerous instances, and in numerous of those instances, those requests were shut down.
Now, am I correct that the Capitol Sergeant at Arms said assistance was unnecessary?
That's correct, Senator.
Who did the Sergeant at Arms report to?
The Speaker of the House.
That would have been Nancy Pelosi at the time. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
And would that also be Chuck Schumer, then the Senate Majority Leader?
The Sergeant at Arms, yes, Senator, reports up there.
Did Mayor Bowser, the Democrat elected mayor in D.C., either request or allow National Guard assistance?
She put in writing.
We're about to have an uncomfortable talk. Before we do that, let's have a comfortable talk about preborn. Let's save a baby's life real quick. Well, as we get stuck in all this, you know, confirmation hearings and all this other stuff, let's do remember that babies are still dying every day. Far too many of them. And now abortion, even after Roe versus Wade was overturned, has never been easier because it's all done by the pill. Not all of it, but about 64% of them, it's done in somebody's home. They do a teleconference. They send an abortion pill there. How in the world do we fight back against evil that easy? Well, preborn gives out free ultrasounds so young mothers can hear the heartbeat of their baby and choose life. And when you support preborn, you are saving lives. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Jesse and go save a life tonight. All right? Sponsored by preborn. We'll be back with that January 6th talk.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.